Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses.
Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling, the most controversial wrestling podcast in the world. By the fans, for the fans, I am your moderator, slash one of the hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with the best producer in the business, one of the greatest sound men alive. Dr. Dre actually called him a technical masterpiece. Eric.
Oh, thank you, Daniel. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. As we just wait for your brother?
Yeah. Claire Clements and Brett aren't doing the show tonight, so it's just going to be us, and we're waiting for Doug. So. Let's get some plugs out of the way, right?
Yep.
They're cheap dudes. Are they still on Fridays after us?
Yeah, I think, at 10 o'clock p.m. on Mr.com/... DirtySheetDudes/Mr.com.
Yeah, so make sure to check them out. Make sure to check out Wrestling with Reality with John. Make sure to check out your guys' podcast, your football podcast. And
I'm
amazing. Make sure to check out this Sunday, brand new Wednesday Night Wars.
Yep, we'll be back. We took a little hiatus, but we're back.
The Unscripted Wrestling family's coming back strong in 2020.
Yes. We just took a little break.
Yeah, took a little break, had the holidays, family stuff, and now we're back delivering audio greatness. Yeah.
Better than ever, stronger than ever.
So Royal Rumble 95, Eric, did you watch it?
Yes. I got to the Royal Rumble match, but I didn't finish it, but I already know who won, so I already know how it ended, so I got to, like, halfway through the Rumble match, but I already knew the outcome.
This pay-per-view is known for a lot of things. Mostly probably the Shawn Michaels 1 foot hitting the floor thing. Did this really, and this is a bad time in pro wrestling, right? 95 is one of the worst years of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Because WCW was still getting their footing, and WWF at the time was so focused on characters and gimmicks and kitty bullshit that it was hurting the pro.
It would be, 9 months until Nitro debuted?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Nitro wasn't even around yet, so it was still Raw.
Saturday night.
And the title match, there were 3 title matches on this card. The Intercontinental Championship between Razor and Jeff Double J, which led up the show, and then you got the Bret Hart versus Big Daddy Cool Diesel, a.k.a. Kevin Nash, for the WWF title, and then you got the tag team titles. The finals of the tag team tournament, right? Oh, here's your brother now. Hi, Doug.
Hi. Sorry
what's
I'm
up?
Late. The asshole that was at work before me left me a bunch of fucking dishes.
Oh, sorry.
Who's that?
It's amazing. You'll do dishes at home and you'll do dishes at other people's houses, but God forbid you try to do them here.
Sorry.
But yeah, I'm here.
Well, welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you.
we were just talking about the 95, obviously the 95 Rumble. What's your outlook on this? Do you have anything?
It is basically 95 is a not necessarily a horrible year, but it wasn't a good year for the business.
Yeah, me and Dan were just discussing that. But...
Yeah. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Okay. I mean, basically, with 95, hold on, I'm going to go upstairs because I keep echoing because I'm standing right next to Daniel.
This thing's going off the fucking hinges quick.
You're welcome.
And people didn't know already, they're obviously brothers.
No, we can't be doing that, okay? I have street cred. All right. I was raised by a pack of wolves.
So basically, what the hell are we talking? What is this show on?
WWF Royal Rumble, which won the Facebook poll, our first poll.
Oh, okay. All right. So the thing about the 95 Royal Rumble is Diesel had just become champion. And I'm still echoing.
Hold on. Are you okay now?
I think so. So, Diesel had just become champion, and then, so, that was kind of a transitional time in the company because, you've gone from having guys like Hogan and Savage and Piper and Warrior.
Yep.
And now, your top draws are guys like Diesel and Brett and Shawn and Yokozuna and Undertaker. So it was a weird transitional period in the company.
Absolutely. Because Nitro wasn't on yet.
Yeah, Nitro wasn't on yet. So WWF's biggest competition was WCW Saturday Night, but WCW was starting to make money. Hogan was making the money. And Savage had been brought in. And you had a lot of guys from the WWF's past that were coming in. And were, they were making the company money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, 95 probably not the most memorable year in pro wrestling. Like me and Eric were talking about a lot of the shitty gimmicks. And, I was watching the Royal Rumble earlier, right? And the amount of ass cheeks in the ring, like, what was the one we were watching the other day when you're like, we cannot believe the talent in this ring? It was like Roddy Piper, Jake the Snake.
Yeah, it was the 90 Royal Rumble.
Yeah. So I'm watching 95, and I see the talents of Duke the Jumpster Drose, Mantar, the Heavenly Body, even though they were good at one point. Well Done. Who the fuck knows Well Done? Stephen Dunn.
Yeah.
Honest with you, Daniel, those guys, Well Done, well, at least one of them, and, one of the Heavenly Bodies, they're not even around anymore. They've since passed on. And like when they passed on and somebody said, you know, RIP, you know, so-and-so, people were just like, who?
Yeah, Vince barely knew him when they were coming out. He was like, what is this? it's got to go down as one of the most undertailed, I don't even know how to say it, but the
underwhelming?
I don't know what underwhelming, because the match itself wasn't bad, but I'd say the least star power of a Royal Rumble we've ever seen. It was who we got. We got Bulldog, Davey Boy. We had Shawn Michaels, and the story is with those two. It's starting it off at the ending of the week. Obviously, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We know what happened. It's awesome. Who else we got this year in there? Lex Luger? He was another bigger star in there. Besides that, there's a, like, Quang. Yeah, like, there was a lot of filler spots and a lot of people. Yeah, Crush made it to the end. You know, it's just like when you think of a Royal Rumble, you're thinking, okay, we got 30 guys, maybe 15 of them are going to be like mid-carders. But then, like, at least 15 or 10 bigger superstars, you know? And while watching this now, if I wouldn't have even known, I knew Shawn Michaels was going to win because he was the biggest star in the match, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, it was missing those big names. At least in my point of view.
Exactly.
Well, no, you're not wrong. And here's the thing, is that, like, you know, some of the bigger stars that were, you know, on the card but had other matches, and this is really before I shouldn't say before, because the year before, Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka wrestled in the opening match, and, you know, then they entered the Rumble. And then Bret and Owen, even though they wrestled earlier on, they were in the Royal Rumble match. But this was a Royal Rumble where anybody that wrestled earlier on in the card, they, you know, that was the only time you were going to see him. You weren't going to see him for the Rumble. And I think that's where a lot of the star power kind of went away, because, you know, you could have used somebody like Bam Bam or somebody like Tatanka or Razor or Double J or Undertaker or IRS in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Or even Brett, because he got screwed. I mean, he didn't get screwed, but he...
Brett was in the title match. And and maybe it's good because, like, guys like Aldo Montoya, a future Just Incredible, he looked really good in that match. You know, he got somebody... He eliminated somebody, I forget who, but... You know, he actually had a good showing. So, in that sense, it's good because you see these guys that are maybe underutilized all year, barely on the mid card, very low card. But, you know, you actually get to see him work a little bit. And I guess that part's cool. But as a fan, it's just kind of like, oh. Like, I want to see the big names kick each other's ass in the Royal Rumble. And I don't want to see a bunch of fucking jobbers and, like, who are these people? It just didn't make sense to me, you know, when the smoking guns are some of the top prospects in the Royal Rumble, you know, you got a problem.
Yeah, you had a tag. They were one of the top tag teams at the time. Smoking guns.
Yeah.
Right, and the thing is, and here's one of the stories here, like, they were supposed to be in the tag team title tournament, but the storyline was that there was a rodeo injury and they couldn't be in the tournament. Well, there really was no... As far as I know, there really was no injury. It was basically just...
An excuse?
They were supposed to be in the Rumble. They wanted them for the Rumble. They didn't want them to work double duty.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, let's start from the beginning. Doug, I'm going to have you narrate this one because I saw this earlier, but I forgot the order. So, take us through the card.
Okay, so the opening match was Razor Ramon versus Jeff Jarrett for the Intercontinental title. Jeff Jarrett was accompanied to the ring by the Roadie.
Right.
Yep. It looked like Road Dog.
It was
Road
Dog.
That's who the Roadie is.
Oh, okay. That's why I saw him. I was like, hey, that's
We are a pro wrestling history podcast. Know your history.
I should have asked you earlier.
So listen, this is our first podcast of the year. We're allowed to be fucking rusty, okay? Especially because that some asshole didn't do the dishes and Doug was late. I'm just kidding. Fuck Doug. As we Jeff Jarrett here, I'm not seeing. I don't think Jeff Jarrett really got good until around 98, late 98, 99, when he started doing the slap nuts thing in the WWF and Ted Debra.
Yeah.
And then he went up and went to WCW. And even though WCW sucked, he was kind of a brighter spot. Guys,
I thought he was better than WCW.
Yeah, he was good. But here, I'm not into it yet. What's your guys' perspective?
I think he had some good matches in 95. Like the match he had in July of 95 with Shawn, that was one of his better matches.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good opening match for what Jeff where Jeff Jarrett was at the time.
Yeah. It was okay.
It could have been better, but I didn't like the way. Oh, sorry, Doug.
No, I was just going to say, like, the whole start and stop, like, when Razor got counted out and then they restarted the match, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
But it gave the, it gave a story to the match, though. It's like, okay, Razor's knee is hurt. Can he continue?
Yeah. Ironically.
Yeah.
There was a similar story in a later title match.
Yeah. So, here's the thing here on Razor, guys. It feels like, as a fan, and I love Razor, I love Scott Hall. I think he's underrated as a worker. He's a great mind. But I feel like when he wrestles guys that aren't at his stature or maybe a little lower than him or maybe that he doesn't feel are big time yet, I feel like he kind of gives half-assed performances. And to me, you can kind of see it on his face when I'm out here with him. And that's kind of the vibe I got from this match. Just like, he didn't give it his all. Like, it was an okay match, but it's not like... Look, if you would have had the same scenario, same thing, but he was with Shawn Michaels, he would have tore the house down. And I know Shawn Michaels is a lot better than Jeff Jarrett, but it just feels like Razor goes half speed when he feels like he's with people that are lesser than him.
Yeah, there's a lot of wrestling like that, too.
Yeah. Let me kind of put it in this perspective. Razor was in the company. Scott Hall was Razor Ramon in the WWE for, 4.5 years. He wrestled at 4 Royal Rumble pay-per-views. At the 93 Royal Rumble, he wrestled Bret Hart for the WWF title. In 94, he wrestled IRS. He defended the Intercontinental title. In 95, obviously, he defended the Intercontinental title against Jeff Jarrett. And in 96, he defended the Intercontinental title against Goldust. His best match, obviously, was in 93 against Brett. In 94, though, the match against IRS was good. 95, I kind of get your point, or I kind of agree with you, Daniel, about how this match was just like Razor didn't give it his all. And in 96, even though he hated the gimmick, the Goldust gimmick, I felt like he at least tried because Goldust was – Dustin Rhodes and Hall obviously had a lot of affection for Dusty.
Yeah, no, he hated Goldust. But that's a separate topic for a separate time. I mean, that's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is that it just seems like he didn't care as much. as he would usually, you know. And it's no offense to Jeff Jarrett either. And like I said, I don't think Jeff Jarrett came into his own yet. I think he was just coming into his own. And the gimmick wasn't perfect. So, I mean, exactly. The best thing about that was that it did give us the road dog later. So,
I have a question
overall,
for Doug.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, what's Royal Rumble, Razor's last match, Royal Rumble 96?
It wasn't his last match, but it was his last Royal match at a Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Man, it wasn't his last match, though.
It wasn't his last pay-per-view either?
No, his last pay-per-view was actually in 96 was the Ingerhouse Good Friends Better Enemies. It was when he lost to Vader.
Okay. I wasn't sure because I knew that his WCW time was coming almost in the summertime, so I wasn't sure how long that timetable was. Thanks,
Doug. But overall, I give the match about 2.5 stars.
I would give it about 2.
Yeah, I'd give it 2.5.
Okay. Doug?
What's in that?
I give it a 2. Oh, do you need me to say what the next match is?
Yeah, that was kind of the point.
Oh, okay.
I forgot what
the
it was,
next match is Undertaker and IRS.
Oh, that's right, yeah. This is a very young Undertaker. I thought Taker was kind of raw in the ring, but he was still good. I thought it was a decent match.
Well, remember, he was still technically a gimmick at the time. He wasn't supposed to be this guy that was supposed to have really good matches. He was still just a gimmick.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, especially because you saw that at the end.
Even for the gimmick, though, the match was pretty good. I think IRS is cruelly underrated, you know, because I mean, it's a gimmick, you know, and it's not a great gimmick, but I think
gimmick. But here's the thing, Mike Rotunda as a wrestler. As a wrestler, is a great wrestler. And they still incorporated that into the IRS thing because they acknowledge how technically skilled he really is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So they still acknowledge that he was a great wrestler.
He was a great wrestler. And the gimmick was okay. And it's one of those gimmicks where he put his all into it, too. So it was memorable.
Yeah. And then sorry, Daniel.
No, you're good.
No, I was going to say that you had Ted DiBiase and Paul Bearer at ringside for their respective.
Yeah. Two legends. That's four legends right there.
Yeah.
The match was good. It had some good bumps to it, you know. For what it was, I thought it was okay. Not too much to comment on it, honestly. I thought, Undertaker is only, even as a gimmick, Undertaker is fucking amazing. I don't care what anybody says. Just watching him, the star power is always there. Even when you go back to his first few matches. Might have been green, but he wasn't even green at this point. But I mean, the man is—he's got to be on the Mount Rushmore to wrestle.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Doug,
what?
Oh, I thought you hadn't—you have anything? I thought you had more to say about.
Well, here's the thing about this match is that, there was such a good story. I mean, I don't know if it was a good story or not, but the feud kind of coming into this is that IRS was trying to repossess the urn, and you know, Undertaker had an issue with the million-dollar corporation. So, like, you know, DiBiase, like, one of the main members of the corporation was IRS, and he's out there and he's trying to, you know, he's trying to end the he's trying to audit the Undertaker, basically. And I thought it was a good match. I mean, I thought the ending was kind of stupid, but
yeah. But it was part of the storyline, so.
Like I said before, and the match was good, but did it really need to keep Undertaker away from the Royal Rumble? At a Royal Rumble that lacks so much star power, I say access match, you just have Taker in the Rumble. And IRS in the Rumble, too. Those are two, one really big name and one very upper mid-card name. So, you know, I see no
need. And it wasn't like you just fought. They were the second match in the card.
Exactly. You know, the Rumble needed it. The Rumble needed it. Just like Razor Ramon. The Royal Rumble could have so used him. You know.
Yeah. Especially after he lost.
And then you're going to have matches on the card, too. You know, obviously, it's a fucking pay-per-view. But those are big stars that are kind of getting wasted in programs. Like you said, Doug, the feud with IRS was actually pretty good. But was it good enough to keep Undertaker out of the Royal Rumble? I don't think so. And I guarantee you that the Razor Ramon and Jeff Jarrett thing was not.
Yeah. And they could have continued that face-off between Undertaker and Bundy in the Rumble.
Exactly.
Right.
They could have had Undertaker eliminate Bundy instead of Big Vision.
So instead we got Quang, and we had fucking Mabel and King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Doug, what do we got? I'm going to give this 3 stars.
Yeah, I'll give it
3-2.
All right.
Cool.
Doug, you got the ball right here. Don't drop it.
All right. So up next we have Bret Hart versus Diesel for the WWF title. Now, and here's the funny thing. The match placement here. Okay.
Yeah.
And this has always kind of bugged me. Like this match even went on before the fucking tag title match.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
I mean, to be honest with you, I felt like this was the best match of the show.
This was better than the Royal Rumble match. I've had it in my head all day. This match, it was awesome. It could have easily main evented. The ending was screwy a little bit. But, see, I like this because even though we're supposed to love and admire Bret Hart, he's the biggest fucking diva of all time, then we have to see him 50 segments throughout the fucking show. I like that he came back in the Rumble and beat Owen's ass and beat back on his ass because he was pissed. And that's what I like here, because this is a Royal Rumble pay-per-view, right? So everything is focused around the Rumble, whether you like it or not. And whether you try to or not, everything's going to kind of go towards that and the hype for that. So even the title match, it was huge because it gave Bret a reason to come out during the Rumble and kick ass and take no names. You know,
Definitely.
It was I'm just saying that I like the build up to it because it was story.
Absolutely.
See, the funny thing, and this is like about this match, I thought that this match was great. I mean, it was one of those things where you didn't get it was the rare babyface versus babyface title match, and obviously, you know, you weren't going to get a clear winner because. Obviously, all the heels were going to get involved because they had to do something like that because Brett technically was not ready to win the title back. Brett was still suffering from a shoulder injury that he suffered because he was in the crossface chicken wing too long at the Survivor Series.
Wow.
Okay. So they had to do something, and you know they didn't want Diesel to go over clean, which I don't know why, since he is the fucking champion. You know, that for some reason that didn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, who was the booker at the time?
Oh, the booker was always Vince. Well, Vince had it was Vince McMahon, Pat Patterson, J.J. Dillon. I think Bruce Pritchard had a little bit to do with it. And, you know, Howard Finkel was helping out, Monsoon, and, you know, whoever was on the fucking – and I think Bill Watts was even there.
Okay.
Oh, this was a short period when he was there?
Yeah, because I think he had come in 95.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a... Yeah, I had forgotten that this match didn't end clean. I mean, obviously, they gave clues because two times they had to restart the match.
Let's get into why did Diesel's title run fail? Doug, why was Diesel one of the worst drawing champions of all time? Was it because of the product at the time?
I think it was because of the product at the time, and plus, you got to look at some of his championship challengers. And I'm not saying I'm not going to say anything bad about Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels, because they were probably his better matches.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But fucking Sid? Mabel? Fuck that.
Yeah. Well, Sid was a draw.
Yeah, it was.
When he wanted to be. When he tried.
Yeah.
In 95, he wasn't, though.
I'd say about a year later, he starts coming into his own a little more.
Oh, yeah. In 96, he definitely did.
He held the title twice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so overall... I would have to agree, you know, Kevin Nash gets a bad rap, and maybe he deserves it, maybe he doesn't. I enjoyed this match. I thought it was done well. I think the little feud between Owen and Brett was getting a little stale, but by this time, it worked well a couple of years earlier, or was it a year earlier?
A year earlier.
Many
I think the feud kind of lost steam, I think, by after SummerSlam, after the Cage match.
And the Cage match was awesome.
A lot of people shit on that Cage match, but I think they're stupid. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's one of my more It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That's one we're going to have to do sometime. If not in the summer, maybe before.
But yeah, so what ratings do we give here?
I would have to give this a 4.
I would give it a 4 because it was a good match, but you know, the finish kind of ruined it, but not enough to where it gets less than a 4.
Yeah. But overall, good title match. You know, you're always
going to
get a good match with Bret Hart.
Yeah, he's always in great matches.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. And, yeah.
The next match is the tag team title match. At the finals of
yeah,
the tag team tournament.
1-2-3 Kid and Bob Sparkplug Holly versus Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka. The finals of the tag team tournament. Now, do you want me, because I actually have Wikipedia right in front of me.
Okay.
And I have the tag team title bracket for that tournament that they did. You want me to get into it a little bit here?
Yeah, get into it. Can I break some news real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me break some NFL news for the people that enjoy your guys' podcast. The New York Giants have hired a new head coach. Not a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator. You know who that is, Eric?
Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett, former Dallas Cowboys head coach. So, you heard it first. Go ahead, Derek.
So, let me ask you, Daniel, since you're a Giants fan, what do you think?
Oh, I'm fucking repulsed.
Okay.
I'm pissed.
And I bet you he's and I bet you he's not happy about it either.
Yeah. It's fucking stupid, but I guess it couldn't get any worse, so.
Yeah.
He'll be clapping for him as they still.
They could have brought back Ben McAdoo.
McAdoo spag.
Yikes.
Fuck them all. They should just get a couple of chimpanzees to coach the fucking team. I put you in that. No, you couldn't. And, I'm just kidding.
I want a rematch.
What?
Go over the bracket.
Okay, so they had to have a tag team title tournament because Shawn Michaels and Diesel were the tag team champions in November of 94. But then, they split up. Diesel turned babyface, obviously won the title, so they had to have a tournament. It was an 8-team tournament. Bam Bam Bigelow got through the following teams. Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka, they beat the following teams. They beat Men on a Mission in the first round, or in the quarterfinals, which was the first round, and then they beat the Head Shrinkers in the semifinals. That's how they got to the finals.
Okay.
The 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly defeated the team of Well Dunn, Stephen Dunn and Timothy Well.
Yeah.
And then the Heavenly Bodies in the semis. Now,
okay.
Bob Holly and the 1-2-3 Kid were replacing the Smoking Guns in this tournament because of the supposed rodeo injury to Bart Gunn. And so 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly were the replacements. Now in reality, the WWF figured the San Diego Chargers were going to the Super Bowl, and they were a huge underdog. So they wanted an underdog team to challenge for the WWF tag team titles and win.
Can't say much for the Chargers.
Is this Bob Holly's biggest claim to fame?
No, I think when he became Hardcore Holly, he got more famous. I mean, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Race car driver. That's how shitty this product was at the time. Fucking race car driver. Sparky plug.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He's getting paid like a main event. I mean, main eventers really weren't getting paid that much because business was shit. But he's getting pushed like a main eventer, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I remember when I started watching, he was like this big star.
He's ass. And he, well, I mean, they did it to bridge over with NASCAR, right? And racing and...
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fucking garbage man on this show, dude.
Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying.
Wait, what's the next match? Is that the Royal Rumble?
Yeah. So, anyway, so this match, and the ending of this match was fucking stupid. So,
yeah.
1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly win the match after Bam Bam Bigelow's going for a moonsault. Tatanka decided, I'm going to run the ropes and drop an elbow. So he ran the ropes, and Bam Bam Bigelow lost his balance and fell and hit his head. So 1-2-3 Kid covers Bam Bam Bigelow. They win the match. Well, Ted DiBiase and Tatanka are disgusted, so they leave Bam Bam Bigelow because they're mad at him for taking the fall. Wouldn't you be mad at the moron that ran the ropes and caused the guy to fall in the first place?
Yeah. I would.
You know they made Tatanka look stupid, right?
You've complained about
yeah.
that before, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, no, because I think this whole thing is stupid. Like, I think the way they turned Bam Bam Bigelow babyface was stupid. Because, again, they used Tatanka, because Tatanka is the one that tripped Bam Bam Bigelow in the title match with Diesel, which caused Bam Bam to get jackknifed, and then the Million Dollar Corporation turned on Bam Bam afterwards. And I'm like, I remember watching it for the first time like a couple of years ago, and I'm watching it, and I'm screaming at it, even though, you know, this is over 20 years old. I'm screaming at the TV, you fucking morons, Tatanka's the one that tripped him. It's not his fault.
Exactly. He's the one that botched.
Yeah. And yet they're blaming Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah.
It's not always the fat, bald guy's fault.
Well, it usually is. But, yeah, in my notes, I just wrote suck. I would give this one star. It was okay,
yeah.
And there is some talent in there, because for some reason, I have a soft spot for Tatanka. I like Tatanka. I don't know why. But this match was not it.
Yeah, I give it a one, too.
I like Tatanka, too. I thought Tatanka was a great worker, and I felt like he got the gimmick over. But I didn't like Tatanka as a heel, as part of the Million Dollar Corporation. I thought it was a bullshit. I thought it was stupid.
Yeah, it is.
To have him as a heel.
He's a better baby face.
I thought so. But I give this a star and a half.
Wow. Yeah, this was the worst match on the card, obviously. No. The aftermath was what the story was about.
Right, because they set up WrestleMania.
Story. Exactly.
Yeah. And so that, you guys want to go maybe an hour or a little bit over tonight since we're kind of running through fast here?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I don't know. Is Clintus calling in or?
I mean, I haven't. Not. He said maybe.
Yeah, we'll go to about 10 or a little after that. Because now, do you guys have anything left on that match or you ready to do the rumble?
No, just the whole thing, you know, Lawrence Taylor and the setup there.
Giants legend.
Fuck the Giants, but yeah.
Actually, before we get into the 95 Royal Rumble, I'm going to ask you guys something real quick. I know next week, you know, we're technically supposed to do the 1990 Royal Rumble because that was the one that won the first Twitter poll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this week on Bruce Pritchard's podcast, they covered the 1990 Royal Rumble.
Oh, seven bitches. I knew he was following me. Fucking Conrad.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Conrad.
So, do we want to cover this event and make it look like we're copying these two fat fucks, or do we want to come up with something else on the fly? Which I've already done.
90. Oh, okay. I had one in mind, but what's your...
I
wonder if it's the same one.
What?
We've had this plan for a month.
I know.
All right, what do you want to do?
Well, Eric, what was your idea?
92. Because everybody was complaining about that.
All right. Well, my idea was actually we put the Rumbles all however fucking many there were. It was like, what are we at, like 32 or 33 now?
Yeah. Probably something
we
like that.
We put them up on a poll, and we have people vote for the top, let's say top five.
Okay.
And we ask them, what are the top five Royal Rumble matches of all time?
Okay, not the pay-per-view, just the matches itself.
Well, unless you want to do pay per views.
Yeah, we can do matches.
Yeah, we can do the matches.
All right, do you want to do a top five or a top ten?
We'll do top five. Daniel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Top five.
All right. Is everybody cool with that, or do you just want to cover a specific event?
So
I'm cool with
top
that.
Five.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the last one of the month we'll do. What was the third one that we're supposed to do?
99.
Yeah, we'll do 99. The last Friday of the month.
Yeah, unless it makes the top five, and then we'll think of something else.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll leave it to our fucking
audience.
Our secretary. Yeah, our audience. That's what I was thinking.
Who's our secretary?
She's sitting next to me.
Oh.
Oh.
She told me to go fuck myself. All right. So the Royal Rumble match. I voiced my opinion on it earlier. And the work in the match wasn't bad. So I can't say it was a bad match. But the lack of star power really took away from me. One highlight, I think Dick Murdoch looked really good here, even though he was way past his prime. I actually enjoyed Dick Murdoch in this match. And I'm a Dick Murdoch fan anyway, but he...
The fact that he was never necessarily considered a WWF guy.
No, not at all.
Okay. I mean, he had one little run back in, like, 1984. you know, him and Adrian Adonis. But that was a it was a short run. They were the champions for a little bit, but it was a short run. But he was always considered, you know, a Southern guy.
Yeah.
So to see him here, I thought was kind of cool.
It was cool. I was shocked.
Did he fight in Memphis?
No, he was an Atlanta guy.
Okay.
You know, he's a former tag team partner of Dusty Rhodes. They were the Texas Outlaws.
Oh, wow, okay.
Back in the 60s. And then he did a lot of work, you know, in the Carolinas, in Atlanta. He was in Mid-South for a while.
Wow.
But he also did a lot of work in Japan, too.
And despite popular beliefs, he is not Trevor Murdoch's dad. No relation.
Right.
Is he still alive?
No, he actually died in 96.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so this is a year before his passing.
Wow.
Holy shit!
Yeah, he was basically wrestling up until his death. I mean, I don't know if he wrestled the day that he died, but
yeah, or I probably not would be my guess. But he looked good here. I thought he wrestled really well, and he got a surprising pop, which I was kind of shocked by. I'm not
because, you know, Florida, he worked for Eddie Graham. Because
yeah.
You got to remember, this was in Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is also, people forget that just because it's in the territory, this is a totally different promotion and totally different times. This is WWF fans, and a lot of them are casual fans. So to me, it is shocking that they would know a Southern legend like Dick Murdoch.
Well, and I see that point, but I also think that you still do have some of those old school fans that are going to be like, oh, we know him, and we used to see him all the time here.
I agree. He looked really good. I also thought This podcast is not anything. We've talked about how underrated Lex Luger is a number of times, so I won't bring it up again. But he looked really good here, and he got a huge pop. Like, I think the fans only really gave a shit about Davey Boy and Sean, but if there was a good third guy that fans were really in it for, it was Lex Luger, and they wanted to see him win.
Now,
and they're sorely disappointed
with it.
What?
No, I was going to say, do you want to backtrack to what happened in 94 with Lex Luger, since we're talking about Lex Luger?
Yeah, he was a co-winner.
Yeah. I mean, there was some controversy in 94, too, because of what happened with Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was considered a co-winner with Bret Hart, and obviously they were trying to get Bret Hart over, or they gave the title to Bret Hart instead of Luger because, you know, they felt like Bret Hart was more over than Lex Luger.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because I thought Lex Luger deserved the WWE title.
He was over, but he wasn't Hulk Hogan over, and that's what they wanted him to be. They wanted him to be the next Hulk, and he wasn't. So they weren't feeling him. But in this pay-per-view, he was over. He had a huge pop when he came to the ring. He fucking tossed Mabel over like a sack of potatoes. That got a huge pop. You know, he looked good here.
He did that with ease.
Yeah, and in my notes I wrote, Davey Boy Smith is a legend, because that dude, I know Shawn Michaels gets a lot of the credit, but those two, like, going through this whole thing, and Davey Boy had some very impressive moments in this match, and we can't say enough good things about him.
Very underrated, too.
Yeah. Wish I could have seen him win a world title. He deserved it.
Yeah, same. He's another one that deserved the title.
Doug, what were your big takeaways from this match?
My big takeaways from this match is, I mean, just like Davey Boy and Sean. Well, first of all, you know, the order, somebody came out every minute. So it was every 60 seconds. It wasn't every 2 minutes or every 90 seconds or whatever. It was every 60 seconds. So this match was shorter than most Royal Rumbles. But still, Davey Boy and Sean kind of going, you know, going the distance here, I thought was kind of cool. But, you know, looking at some of these names that were in this, I'm going to read some of them off here. All right. You had the Blue Brothers, Jacob and Eli Blue. You had Duke the Dumpster Derossi. You know, we talked earlier about the Heavenly Bodies being in it. How about the Head Shrinkers, Fatu and Sione? Doink the Clown.
Yep.
Daniel, you talked about Quang. You know, Rick the Model Martel being in this thing.
Hey. That's where I draw the line. The rest of them I agree with ass cheeks, but I was actually pleasantly surprised to see Martel.
Well, no, I was too. See, I like Martel. And the only reason why he was in this is because he replaced Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Martel wasn't even working for the company at that time. Like, they were they had just let him go.
And they were just like, come back, please.
Yeah, and they're like, well, because he's such a, he's a veteran Royal Rumble competitor, and he did well in the Rumbles that he was in there, to where they're just like, hey, do you want to do this? You know, Jim Neidhart can't be here because we fired him for the 50th time. So, do you want to be a part of this? He said yes, so he was there.
But also,
the Bushwhackers were in it. Men on a Mission was in here. We talked to Mantar, Henry Godwin, you know, Bob Backlund, Adam Bomb, Crush. And Crush was in between prison sentences.
And he almost won the thing. He eliminated
Lex Luger. Yeah, he eliminated. Crush came in at number 30. He lasted 8 minutes and 51 seconds. He eliminated 5 people.
Yeah, he had a good showing.
Okay. And he was fresh out of getting out of the can. And then he had this appearance, and then he ended up getting arrested again.
What an idiot.
Wow.
So that makes a lot of fucking sense.
Yeah. And it was funny because the other night when we watched the 90 Royal Rumble, now for some reason I thought that was 95. And I was kind of out of it. I was tired. So, well, I'm waiting for this, expecting all these fucking great guys. I'm watching with our aunt. Said, you know, there's a lot of superstars, like legends in this match. And then fucking Adam Bomb's coming out in Mantar, and I'm looking like a fucking idiot. You know, and it's like the final, and I was like, where are all the fucking legends coming out? The big star in this fucking thing's Lex Luger, and people fucking hate him. I was like, what the fuck is this bullshit? Oh, wait, this was the Blues Brothers. I don't know. Maybe I was fucked up. Maybe I was drunk. But I thought that was the same fucking dude. They're twins, right?
Yeah. Ron and Don Harris are twins.
Oh, 8-Ball and whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck those guys, by the way. They sucked. No matter what they were doing. Fuck the Blues Brothers. Not the S&M Blues Brothers. Those were awesome. Fuck these Blues Brothers. We have all these big stars. Look at the fucking Quang. the fuck is crap? And you almost eliminated Shawn Michaels.
Huh.
It sounds like what I ordered from the Chinese place for lunch the other day. I got quiet with a side of pork fried rice. Oh, go ahead, Doug.
So, I mean, and then, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. There were not a lot of big stars in this thing. I mean, not like, you know, Rumble matches, you know, prior to this.
Yeah.
But you look at, you know, if you look at how many eliminations guys had, Shawn Michaels obviously eliminated the most men. He eliminated eight.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did good.
Crush was next in line. He eliminated five. Davey Boy and Luger eliminated four apiece. Okay. The person that eliminated the next biggest amount of guys was Sione of the Head Shrinkers, who was the Barbarian, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. And then after that, Dick Murdoch eliminated two.
It felt like this match was just there to for Shawn Michaels' big moment and the foot to hit the ground. That's what this match, that's what this pay-per-view was about, because that's all we ever hear about. You know, when WWE goes in the record books, they don't talk about Aldo, Montoya, and Mantar. First of all, why the fuck would they? No offense to Justin Credible. But they talk about the foot hitting the floor and how big of a moment it was. And first of all, listen, I know she's had a lot of work done, and she may not be that good looking now, but Pamela Anderson was a snack. You don't agree?
Yeah.
No, I agree. I just love the terminology you use.
Oh, my God. I almost want to go to a beach and drown myself so she can fucking come rescue me.
Me too. I texted Doug last week saying, I already give the favorite review a 10 out of 10 because of Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. I would love for her to give me mouth to mouth.
Easy, Tiger.
I swear to God, you and me are switching roles for this episode. But
I'm the one that got Wikipedia to work.
Do not tell our secret. A magician never tells his secrets. You son of a bitch. So, look, you want to give our ratings, give some closing comments, and get out of here?
Yeah.
I would give this match. Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, sorry, Daniel. You go first.
No.
I give the Rumble match a 2.5 out of 5.
Okay. See, and I'll go next. See, even though I've had nothing but harsh things to say about it, I really did enjoy the match. I thought the story of Bulldog and Shawn was done really well. And Shawn winning, it was whatever, you know. Maybe I would have preferred it if Bulldog won, but whatever. It made sense for the story with him and Diesel. So, for what it was, yeah. Half the participants were jobbers, but I'd have to give it at least a 3.5 because I do like the story told, and that moment is still one of the biggest Rumble moments in history. The one
and they still show
ball.
Every year.
Yeah, so it has lasting impact. The match may not, but that has lasting impact, so it's got to at least get a 3.5 from me.
I would give
I'll change mine
three.
To 3. Yeah, I'll change mine to 3 too.
No, Eric, that's the number one rule of this podcast. No takesy backsies.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Now let me ask you guys this. Do you think this Rumble match itself was underhyped? Because I felt like they didn't really hype this match throughout the show like they do with other Rumbles from past and present.
I agree. I felt like
what
there was not much story going into it.
Yeah, it felt like underwhelming. This didn't feel like a Rumble.
I can understand that.
It was mainly about Pamela Anderson and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. All right, boys, let's get some closing comments here. Eric? Closing comments about the Rumble 95.
As I said, I thought the Rumble match itself was overwhelming and underhyped. I thought it could have used a little more hype. I understand the focus was on Pamela Anderson, rightfully so. So, but overall, I give the pay-per-view a 6.5 out of 10. Because of the main event, it told the story, and I thought it was the best match on the card. Overall, I did like it. It was enjoyable.
Doug?
Overall, I think this is one of the more forgettable Royal Rumble pay-per-views. I think the title match was the best. The WWF title match was the best part of the show, even though it was a screwy finish.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's not one of my favorites, but I don't think it was a bad Rumble match. I think that it should have gone longer.
Yeah, it was pretty short.
Yeah. But it was okay for what it was.
Yeah.
My closing comments. See, what I want to say is, you know, the word that comes to mind is underwhelming, but I think this is WWE in its purest form. And here's why. WWE is and will forever be known for moments, not for well-crafted pay-per-views, even though they do have those. But to me, WWE is not known for intricate, great storylines and, you know, a masterpiece of a show. They're known for having some and then some big fucking moments. And I think that's what this was. I agree with you.
Yeah.
The title match was the best match on the card. And the Royal Rumble match, as much as we say it's unforgettable and as much as, you know, I didn't like it because there was no star power into it, that moment will live on forever. In the end. So that's what they do, and it's what they do well, creating moments. So on that note, I will give the show a 3.
I mean, I would give it a 3, too.
All right. Eric?
I'll say this. What was I going to say? I was going to say that you say it's forgettable, but it did win the poll. It did win the first poll, so our fans wanted to see it. So, I mean, talk about it. So, I guess in that way, it's kind of memorable to them.
Yeah.
They were too busy, though, bitching at us for not having the 92 Royal Rumble on the poll.
By the way, hashtag fuck Disco Inferno. I want to get that trending.
There you go.
Okay.
So as we close up, we will see you guys next week where we do our top 5. Doug, I'm sure you'll get that poll up quick. Or Eric, or
I'm trying to. Remember, I got to put up like 33 options.
Yeah.
I can't type that fast unless I'm typing in the name of a porn star in a search engine.
First of all, I don't know what kind of porn you're watching when her name is 33 words long. That's going to be a different country or something. But, what the fuck was it? So as we close up here, we'll see you guys next week.
Never mind. We'll I was going to try to say something smart, but Sharon's sitting right there, so I'm not going to do it.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Jesus Christ, we're trying to stay professional here. But so we will see you guys next week. Don't forget to check out this Sunday, the Wednesday at Wars. We're going to be coming back in black. Even though I'll probably wear teal and purple. What? So yeah, 7 o'clock.
What kind of you guys want?
So check that out. Just let me finish real quick. Check that out. check out the football podcast, which will be on Monday, right, gentlemen?
Yeah.
I think so.
Check out Wrestling With Reality with John. If we're still plugging
Why are
him.
We still plugging him?
He was a nice guy. And make sure to check out Dirt Sheet Dudes.
Boxman Anthony.
Boxman and Anthony. Good guys. And, yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Eric, Doug, it was a pleasure as always.
As always. It was a wonderful show. Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll see you next week. I'll see you tomorrow,
Bye.
Doug.
Bye.
You won't see me tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Oops. I'll see you next week.
Alrighty. All right. Later,
Bye.
Guys.
Yeah.
Bye.